Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we've got a job.
Good.
KZ Excellent.
Catchphrase.
And Mr. Feel.
Congrats to Morbius, the number one movie in the world.
Here on Gigaboots.
Bob and I actually got a game to cover ahead of its release. We got game codes for God of Protectors, which people may recall two episodes a Big Think ago. We're like, holy crap, it's actually releasing.
Yes.
I did not expect to get these codes. So I want to say thank you to A4 for giving it to us. The game actually comes out 2 days after this Big Think comes out. So this is going to be more like a preview thing. Because, you know, we can't talk about stuff later in the game. But this game's really freaking cool. Like, I was interested in the game at an aesthetic level before and other levels of it. But I was kind of like, you look at the gameplay and you're really not sure what it is. So I'm going to go describe it. It's kind of like its own parallel genre, kind of like the pixel junk monster tower defense games get to.
I would call it a patent pending gauntlet-like.
A gauntlet-like? Well, see, here's the thing. In Gauntlet, you take a party around a dungeon. In this, the castle is on Tonk Treads, as they keep calling it.
And before we go too far, this is not just God of Protectors. This is God of Protectors, Cart of Darkness.
Yes, that's true. We do need to say Cart of Darkness. That's the name of the Switch version. The Switch, We God of Protectors. It's really good, because the 3DS game came out a while ago. Anytime any character in this tries to talk about the events of that, they go, don't do that, that's unprofessional.
Yeah, the writing in this game is really good.
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious. I would be doing it a disservice just saying what all the jokes are, because the way they play out is absolutely fantastic. Very funny game. But yeah, it's a 2D retro style graphics. It's made by Ancient, which is Yuzo Koshiro's company. He did the full soundtrack for this. It has a sound that took me a while to figure out, like, what does this remind me of? The default soundtrack for the game comes with an NES sound font, but they're going to sell DLC for other sound fonts. They aren't up yet, so I have no idea how much they are. It sounds like Konami World with Konami Man and Konami Girl.
Oh, there are certain songs that are like, this one sounds very much like Zelda 2.
Really?
Yeah, I think that when you go into the in-between phases when you're in the town, I'm like, this is a Zelda 2 thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the town does kind of have that vibe. But to describe it real quick, your princess is on the castle. You shove her there by bumping your icon into her.
Yeah, she starts next to the castle for whatever reason.
You shove her onto it by bumping into her in this top-down 2D hack and slash game. And once she's on there, that activates the castle's taunt treads. And it goes down this railroad, basically, traveling towards the enemy castle to bash into it repeatedly until it explodes.
My favorite part is when that starts, the princess has very few actually voiced lines, and one of them is bang, and she hits it with her castle.
Yeah, it's really good. You got bump combat on the castles there. But the gameplay is basically you're defending her from hundreds of monsters that spawn from monster closets and other things, unique enemy types, and you get to choose up to six, I believe, different classes. Is that right, Bob?
I think there are six different class. Wait, no, seven.
Yeah,
I couldn't do them all at once. Or I couldn't do them all in two rounds. I think I had to do three rounds. There might be eight.
So let's go through them real quick. You got the Ranger. You got the Prince. You got the Amazon. You got the nudist ninja.
Uh huh.
You got old man, which is somehow a class.
I think you call him old guy, but yes.
He rides around on a wooden horse. But yeah, each of these classes has different skills, which will be set to a face button. So Y, X, and A will all be unique skills, and you can customize these after you unlock them later to bring a specific ones you want into battle. But your bottom button, your B button, because this is on the Switch, which we mentioned earlier, is just an attack button. So it really is just like a cool hack and slash where you have skills for different characters. You bring up to three, and you bring three into battle. You can switch between the classes at any time. They're pretty interesting. I honestly like most of them I played, because at the end of each level, when you finally do bash the enemy castle to death, you get money to invest into either your core stats to get strong, which always feels awesome, You can dump money into making your skills ridiculous. So like the mage would be able to do a chain lightning that's enormous. You can reinforce like armaments, like walls, because there are fences and stuff set up along the way, and the monsters have to break those down before they can attack your castle.
And there are even classes where you can put down your own fences.
Yes. And in fact, some of the classes just unlock that on a different set of like moves.
Right.
Yeah. Like the later skill sets, I think for two or more of them do that. It's pretty cool. I haven't been able to get all those yet. And then you could just upgrade the princess so she's way better at bashing their castle to death. I genuinely love the music in this game. I really love the aesthetic. The writing is way funnier than I expected.
Yeah, they in those level up sections, they even like throw more writing into those. Like you get to the level up screen, the princess is like, I want to be beefy.
Yeah, she's like, hey, don't skimp. I want to get beefy. And just like, all right, here's $3,000. And she's like, yes. Yeah, there's... It really is like every moment there's a good intro segment. You have things at the beginning of each individual map where it's like explaining what the new mechanic is, you know, because you'll have various different monster types, maybe a ranged archer type. They have an enemy called a werebear. The werebear throws bombs. You should beware the werebear. The thing they're calling a werebear is clearly a child in a onesie. Just runs up and drops a bomb with a timer. And if you don't destroy the bomb in time, it does massive damage. But it's just absolutely ludicrous because everyone in the game just keeps referring to it as a werebear. And it's like, those are PJs.
Yeah.
I don't know why you are doing this.
When you pause the game, did you notice the toilet break button?
Yes, okay, so you pause the game and it's got two buttons. And it's like unpause and toilet break. You hit toilet break and it brings up a random, like, just like No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again. Just like that retro vintage gaming comic sort of thing. Where it's just like, here's your Nintendo Power page you would expect. Here's the secret on how to unlock this dude who's even more powerful. Here's this funny comic. Here's some fan art, a fan drew. And like... that was ridiculous. I'm like, what an unnecessary feature that is really, really funny. Yeah, I don't know, Bob. Like, I was interested in this game just because it was ancient.
Uh-huh.
I was interested in this game because aesthetically, I really like a lot of the character designs, and I thought the trailer was kind of funny. Playing it, I absolutely love the hell out of this game.
Yeah, this is a ton of fun. I definitely, like, I can't see it being priced in a way where I wouldn't just buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, would I be like, no, I was a ripoff.
Yeah, that's the same here. I was truly floored because, you know, I don't say this lightly. This genuinely makes me feel like with Pixel Junk Monsters again, where it's like you've created your own genre by doing enough weird things about how it works mechanically, but it's all really sound and really interesting. In this game, which we haven't talked about up until now, is up to 4 players. And you can do it online, you can do it locally with multiple Switches, or you can do it on the same Switch. We haven't tested the online yet, but the thought of, you know, like Bob was saying, comparing it to Gauntlet, the thought of going in with 4 different characters, you know, you can either be like the fighter, which is straight up, you know, Final Fantasy 1 style design for the fighter, or do an Amazon mage, whatever, and all just contribute to the battle in these very different ways, because the mage is really good. You hang out next to the princess on the castle to help defend her, and you will refresh your MP insanely fast. So you basically just sit on that castle with her and piss lightning. It's an intensely cool and different way to play than the other characters because they're less concerned about their MP burning out immediately, right?
Uh-huh.
Like their standard attacks are pretty good.
Did you mess with the Oracle at all?
I have not, no.
That's my favorite class because she literally just gets to show down a monster that fights for her.
Oh, yeah, I did that once. She has an almost, oh, God, I can't remember which Pokemon character trainer design it is.
I just keep thinking Pocky and Rocky.
Yeah, it's Pocky and Rocky core design.
Then she's got the candles on her head like the characters from Ranma.
Yes.
like, okay, this is good. And she also, she honestly makes like a sicko face.
Yes, no, she, what? Not to be lewd, but she's kind of doing a face that makes you wonder. It's important to note that each character has different stats in general, and each character has one unique attribute stat for each, and hers is horny, and it's turned to 4 stars.
It's lust. It's different.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, what is this chick's problem?
And then the ninja with armor 1 because he's nude.
He's literally wearing a banana hammock.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's the most ripped dude ever.
Somebody was like, he was like, don't forget to get some better armor when we get back to town. And the other person's like, dude, you're barely wearing any armor at all. And he's like, what are you talking about? I have the strongest armor there is. Self-esteem. It's like, yeah, I love this guy. Yeah, this game, the soundtrack is really, really good on top of all of the rest of it being fantastic. I was not expecting it to be this good. I'm kind of floored by this.
Yeah, for some reason, I didn't think it would run well. It runs fine on the Switch. It's
it
weird.
Runs perfectly. I've had absolutely no problems, and it's got hundreds of enemies on the screen, which it gives you like combo meters for, and it gives you gold for all that, and you get these really cool abilities like shooting a firebird that burns a hole across the entire map. Did you try the Prince?
Yes, the Prince is great because his attacks make him move faster than he can walk, so you're just mashing the attack button instead of walking.
To put this into perspective, not character design-wise, but attack-wise, the dude's using a rapier, and he has some real Raphael energy. You're just stabbing your way, riposting your way across the entire map.
Yeah.
I really love that dude, and he also gets the skill later on that's like a chain lightning, or like it's a local lightning spread. And the more you upgrade that, the bigger the spread goes out. It's really, really good. I really want to figure out when we can do a stream of the multiplayer on this.
That'd be interesting.
Because this game, while it is perfectly fine by itself, I really enjoyed my time with it. I am interested in seeing how multiplayer works up, if it scales the enemies, what's going to go on with that. Are we just going to get less gold? You know, so less money to invest in getting our princess beefy.
Yeah, I was like, this... It feels like there's got to be some way you balance it for having multiple characters, because right now I'm like, I can get through here alone. So imagining having 3 guys also here killing things, like, that seems ludicrous. That's so overkill.
Yeah, I actually did get to a little bit later where the exact cutoff is for what we can talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And it was difficult enough where I failed.
Yeah, I did fail once in what I played.
And I think part of that may have been I backed down from my strategy of investing in stats and only stats.
Yeah, that seems like it's the most important stat to invest in.
Yeah, as it turns out, making yourself strong, that's important.
Also, every new level I played with a new set of guys because I wanted to try all the classes before we did this.
Mm-hmm,
so one of those rounds, I was like, okay, I've got an archer, a mage, and someone else, and this team did not work.
Yeah, I think that's also part of what I ran into, where it didn't work out for some reason. It would be really interesting to see because, you know, you get the Amazon to do close range combat and a mage to just be pissing lightning from the base. You can build those auto repair things, which is very funny. Did you do that as any of the characters?
I didn't find auto repair. I found regular repairing and also lifting, which is very funny because you can show the princess.
Yes. I hit the button thinking it was the dash button because a number of people, they set that by default to like a little dash thing. I hit that as the character with the lift and they just immediately yeeted her on accident.
It's got voice clips for it. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I appreciate the sound of the 8-bit crush.
Yes.
Because you can either choose to play with the 8-bit crush on all the sound voice clips or just uncap it and make it sound pure.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I need to try that and see.
It's cool. Get to hear it both ways. But yeah, it's God of Protectors, Card of Darkness was great. And we really need to do like a stream of that sometime leading up to or near launch.
Right.
Because Jesus. I don't know. I didn't come in expecting like, oh, this might make me game of the year list.
No,
I definitely did not come in expecting that. But this thing is genuinely a delight in a way I didn't see or expect. Yeah, that was cool.
One of my other favorite little gags they did was the princess is warned about the coming of a hero. And then she's like, oh, wait, I can't wait to beat her. And the fairy informing her is like, I'm sorry, miss. It's a him. We're in the 1980s.
And actually,
probably
he's
white.
Asian. Yeah,
or
he's,
Asian, maybe.
It's him. It's a him. Sorry. The hero's a him. He's white, but actually he's Asian. It's really complicated. It's the 80s. I was just like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, no, the writing of this has been really funny. Like, I genuinely think if I tried to convey how funny this game is, it would be lost.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's a lot of that.
Like, there's just a flow to the dialogue and the way things end up is very funny.
And all the pixel art is really nice.
Yeah, they did an awesome job on the pixel art.
Very expressive, both in the, like, bigger forms they have for story and the small guys for the actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, they have a great cast of characters.
Yeah.
Like the Amazon. She's like, where did I leave my food? Looking around, and then someone goes, well, based on your outfit, there are only two places it could be. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing more of that. If we do content after the game comes out, then we could just beat it.
Yeah.
And part of me wants to do that.
That makes sense. I mean, it comes out soon.
Yeah,
obviously.
It does. Yeah. No, Bob, we have so much free time between now and Wednesday.
Yeah, right?
It's not like we're doing two gigantic streams.
We would never.
Oops.
But yeah. Did you have anything else you want to say about God of Protectors?
No.
Okay. While I try to idly in the background remember what we played last Friday, I am going to get instead talk about game came out pretty comparable to Baba Is You, for anyone who has a frame of reference for that. This game's called Patrick's Parabox. It's a puzzle game. Basically, it is a push box puzzle game a la Sokoban or something like that, or kind of like Baba Is You. But instead of having the word spells like Baba Is You has to cause insane like magic around how you make the winning state change to be accomplishable, this instead is all spatially related, but involves fractal dimensions. So you'll have a box that you can shove yourself into that is itself a pocket dimension that you can bring things in and out of. Now, sometimes you'll be pushing a box that is in fact the play field you're on, so you'll see the giant version of yourself at the edge pushing.
You know, when you first told me about this, I had the idea this was like Antichamber, like a full 3D game.
Yeah.
This is a top-down 2D game.
Yeah, just like Baba Is You, top-down 2D puzzle game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see a 3D box pushing puzzle game in my life. That would be miserable. Somebody's like, Portal, and I'm like, you don't shit around in Portal.
Yeah, you have the gravity gun. That's obviously.
Chell just running into the side of these fucking companion cubes for an hour.
Yeah.
Well, if you're pushing boxes, it's just Catherine. Edge.
So yeah, one of the things you'll do, like, and it keeps scaling up in complexity. This game has like 380 puzzles in it. You don't have to solve them all to beat the game. Each new area has like a new mechanic or gimmick to it that keeps layering on top of all the other ones, and it's really, really fantastic. Almost indescribable. It very nearly is the levels it gets to with these mechanics, and it teaches you through you going through the levels. Like, the first level will do the simplest version of it, and the second level will build on it in a way, and by the time you hit the fourth one, it's like, okay, we're going to take the chains off. You now need to understand that by shoving this fractal dimension that is the play field into this other box, it's going to shove it to the other end of the play field, which will then loop, which you will then need to do to shuffle around these parts to line it up to make a path to shove yourself into to get to this spot. It is really enjoyable. It's currently only on like Steam platforms, so PC, Mac, Linux. Luckily, Steam's pretty cool, so I bought it on Steam and played it on both my MacBook and my PC. It's really enjoyable. I enjoyed my time with that immensely. I wish I could tell you about how long it is, but I found out something interesting about MacBooks. Apparently, if you just close the lid on your MacBook, and a game was running, it's not like a Windows PC where it, you know, puts it in a suspend state completely, because the M1 MacBooks have that really low energy power mode. So I've played Patrick's Parabox for 54 hours and 20 minutes.
It's good that you're able to play some games on your own time.
Yeah, I just had a spare 54 hours over the last week.
Okay,
that
good.
Makes sense. But yeah, I would say the game's probably like 7 to 9, I would guess, and it's not easy. It is definitely not easy. I went straight into playing Baba Is You for the first time ever. Like, I had seen the game around. I was a little bummed that I didn't get it at launch. So I didn't get it the year it came out. But I bought Baba Is You after this to see, like, how it would compare to that. And yeah, they do give you a very similar experience from a how it feels to engage with it level. But the way, the things they ask from you, the way they want you to think is so radically different that both are fresh and different experiences. And there's always really, really hilarious stuff you can do in Patrick's Parabox where it's like, oops, I accidentally left the play through field through the play field by shoving it outside of itself, and now I'm in reverse infinity. And all sorts of situations like that, where it's like, you've done a thing that literally would end existence. So now you're just floating in the void. Good thing this does, just like Baba Is You, there is a button to undo moves. And it rolls back, you know, all the way. Which, thank Christ. One advantage this has over Baba Is You is you can undo a reset, because they have a button to just reset the play field. You could just hit the undo button in case you went, wait, no, actually, I had that in a good spot. I just needed to roll it back 10 steps. I didn't need to reset everything. Damn, what did I do? Baba Is You, you hit that reset button. You reset. You're an idiot. Yeah, this game's delightful. Really good stuff. I hope it comes to more platforms. It's on Unity, so I don't know any reason why it wouldn't long term. But who knows how long that'll take. It's apparently been kicking around on, like, in development indie game scene for about 3 years now. So there's coverage of it going back to 2019. But yeah, highly recommended. Absolutely great. Glad to move on to Baba Is You and God of Protectors now. Okay, hey, Bob.
Hey. We stream God of War, if that's what you're going to ask.
Which one? God of War 2018 was supposed to be in an 18 and a half hour stream. It was 16 and a half, and I was sad. I wish it went longer. That playthrough was so much better than the first playthrough we did across an entire year.
Yeah, that was miserable.
More than a year.
It was such a good stream. That was definitely the most fun stream of the month.
I clicked in at the very start where everyone's just hitting boy.
Yeah, that's boy. God of War, all right. it was really great because we've had some people, you know, aren't God of War fans, but are interested in Gigaboot streams. And they've been checking it all throughout the month. We get to God of War 2018 and they're like, this has a cast of really likable characters. What's going on?
Yeah. No, they have like good character writing and everyone's interesting.
Good comedy chops, heartfelt moments. And then the action gameplay fucking rules. I'm serious. I was genuinely disappointed it ended after 16 and a half hours. I was like, oh. And then to keep myself from becoming a true sicko, I deleted the game off my PS5 so we couldn't stream the Valkyries anytime soon. Because I knew I'd want to. I wanted to the next day. So I had to delete it.
Right.
Had to.
You know, I forgot.
You almost reinstalled it anyway.
I don't know.
God. I forgot that first real boss fight in that game is the sickest shit.
You're talking about fighting the regenerating man?
The homeless guy that you fight at the start of the game.
Yes.
Like, I remember the first time I played, I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, no, it absolutely rules. That game has so many great moments. I feel like playing it all in one sitting has made me appreciate just how many set pieces there are.
Because
while there still should be more in Ragnarok, I think there's more than I remembered or gave it credit for that I appreciated when we did it all in one go.
Yeah, I'm excited for them to have more enemy types. Like, it doesn't bother me too much in this game, but we do fight that one big troll a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Where they keep changing his name.
Yeah, he keeps getting new names and new big sticks, but it's always basically the same big stick.
Yeah, it's like when you play Donkey Kong Country.
You always crush him with the stone.
It's like K. Rool has different outfits in all the Donkey Kong Country games. He's like, I'm a captain now.
Yeah.
That'd be great if this dude was wearing outfits.
If every time you don't look at him, he crawled away, that'd be the best part.
Oh, that would be good. He's just like, I'm a pirate. We're like, we beat your ass 3 times already. What are you doing?
The Valkyries are also, when you do all of them one after the other to clear out the game, it's like, you made 6 moves and gave each of them 3.
Oh.
Yeah, that figures.
Yeah, that does seem like kind of budget tier, like higher level gameplay stuff for people who really want a challenge.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one Valkyrie fight we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you when you do them all, like the illusion wears off, and you're like, okay, this one has this and this and this, and this one has this and this and this. And this one has this and this
yeah.
and this.
Yeah, kind of like when you go and visit every single cave in Elden Ring. It's like, oh, it's this one that links with these set pre-made things. Okay, I see.
It's, you start seeing through the code.
Yes.
And you're like, oh.
Okay, yeah, this is no. one of the four Valkyries that can stomp on my neck. This is one of the four that... I don't even fucking remember their moves. It's been so long. I haven't played it since launch. I really hope that Ragnarok has like the God of War set PC shit, because that game's shipping on PS4, so a lot of it is gonna be from this one.
You have to wonder if they're gonna be able to put more set piece stuff in it. Because the last gen version,
here's the PS5 exclusive DLC that has all the set pieces.
No, it's fine. It's just if you don't play it on PS5, all the set pieces are 720p.
Yeah, they all look like they're Unreal Engine 3 and 7th gen goo.
It's okay. The PS4 version, the set pieces just start with a zooming off Kratos' face that holds for a full minute before it starts.
He keeps looking left and right like fucking Wolfensteinman.
Yes,
BJ Blazkowicz.
I don't need anything on the level of the opening of God of War 3, because that feels impossible when it's on PS4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But can Kratos brutalize more guys? Like, I get that he's not super pissed anymore, but can we have, like, what he does to Poseidon and just beats their ass?
I think God of War Ragnarok will have a drive moment.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the
but
idea.
God of War 3 has, like, 8.
Yes, but because you just spent a whole game with Kratos trying to be patient and trying to be better, the moment that shit drops is gonna be so good.
Yeah, and then Thor's gonna be, he's just gonna be like that dude in the elevator and Drive.
Yes.
It's gonna be like a 35-minute long QTE of brutalizing Thor.
Yeah, I hope that Thor gets annihilated almost immediately in this next game, and we just move on to other stuff.
The thing is, they can't, because they're keeping to, like, the mythological kill order.
Huh.
Oh no.
Cause Baldur, fucking spoilers for this 4-year-old game. Cause Baldur is the first one that dies, and like that kicks off Ragnarok, and that's why whatever the fuck the mom's name is, I forget.
Oh shit.
Like makes him immortal. Like it's not just her being a freaky possessive mom.
Right.
It's also like if he fucking dies, Ragnarok starts. So
can't have that shit happening.
Let's give him the immortality curse. Do you think it's a little bit hypocritical of Kratos to tell someone revenge won't give you peace when it very obviously gave him peace?
Oh, 100%, but...
Yeah, but maybe his thought is that his peace didn't come from that at all. It was really just having 1,000 years to think.
I would simply have 1,000 years to think.
But yeah, no, it definitely, that's a thing.
I mean, that's the thing in so much media, I can't even count at all. It's like, oh, revenge
including
is bad.
The Last of Us 2, kind of.
Yes. Absolutely.
Abby's like, well, I got my revenge. Time to go to be a very positive person and help people I don't know to no gain of myself.
But yeah, that game's good. I'm really looking forward to Ragnarok. What a good cap to the God of War.
Yeah, unless it screws up real bad, I'm like, yeah, that's going to be my game of the year.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm really glad that in this 1 week I've run into two games that were so delightful.
Mm-hmm.
It's already filling up the list. That feels awesome. But yeah, Ragnarok's going to be... God. It's going to be really good, or it's going to be surprisingly disappointing.
Right?
Who knows? Watch God of War Ragnarok somehow be another Doom Eternal situation where we're like, yeah, all these changes are smart and really great, and then there's a subset of people who are like, no, this ruined it.
I have to think. No.
I, I want, Casey, it wasn't even that. It was literally just, I have to use something other than the super shotgun. Like, I also like Doom 2, but come on.
Yeah, that's basically where I was going at. It's like, I don't know, I have to think about what gun I'm going to use in this situation. I just want to use one.
Imagine there was outrage for it becoming less complicated, and then they make it more complicated, and there's outrage again.
Here's the thing. A lot of people are very weird about God of War, especially. Like, they're not even fans.
Yes.
So it has to be like, the old God of War was bad because it's not as good as DMC. The new God of War is bad because it isn't the old God of War.
Yeah, I noticed it exists in this weird superposition.
Right.
It exists in a superposition because it's like, because it's a Sony first party game. Like, there's no, like, it just gets backlash because it's huge. That's it.
People have really complicated feelings about looks at notes God of War.
you guys doing God of War, which went into April,
yeah,
did make me go, wow, every person who talked about Kratos being toxically masculine is an idiot.
Obviously,
how could anyone take these games seriously? He's a cartoon character. Seventh Gen was a brain disease for everyone.
Yes.
What? No, that's obviously, they think this is what a normal person looks like.
I
love how I was watching a video that's completely separate from you guys playing God of War, where they played God of War.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a 2-year-old video, and they go, so here's the sex minigame, and I'm sure some people might have gotten upset at the time, but this is a cartoon. Why would anyone take anything happening here seriously?
Yeah,
so it's like, when people play it, they actually understand, it feels like, when they're faced with the text.
Mm-hmm. Are you telling me people who actually engage with the thing understand the context the thing happens in?
Yes, if they engage with it, you know, on an honest level.
Or at all.
Yeah.
As it turns out. Yeah.
It really, like, I hate to keep using this stereotype, but it feels so accurate to reality that there was, especially in 7th Gen, we're kind of getting better. It feels like newer games journalists are sane, but like the old school ones, there's this brand of old school one that's like, no, my parents have to respect me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also did want to, like, work in games.
Like, come on.
Yeah,
come on. It's a cartoon. You're playing an M-rated cartoon.
It is so weird because it's like, I think that there's the age of them that's the early GameSpot guys, like the Giant Bomb crew that left by now.
Yeah.
Those guys are fine. They're just kind of boomery. And then there's like that middle section that all propped up during 7th Gen, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then things
they're
are
like
becoming
ones
normal
that are
again.
Our age?
Yeah, the ones like our age, basically, or a little bit older.
Uh-huh.
Where they genuinely just go, ugh, the problem with game journalism is that they aren't looking into the ludonarrative dissonance of the narrative of the story. It's like, no, that's not the problem. Thank you, though. Yeah, yeah. It's, look, sometimes something you do isn't fulfilling enough and you need to make yourself feel better. So you engage with it in a completely bizarre way.
You lash out and maybe ruin the industry.
Just yeah. A little, as
just
a treat.
A little bit.
you somehow convince everyone that consoles are over, so 8th Gen has no games until 2015.
Yeah, that was impressive. Admittedly, it was also the money people looking at how much money there was in mobile and going, yeah, no one's going to buy
that
console.
But that was also pushed by the media.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Especially the thing where they, for some reason, for this happened for like 3 years. If you're young, you won't believe me, but this happened where it's like mobile games and console games are the exact same markets. And if you argue against this in any way, you're a misogynist.
Yes. That was everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? There were articles of like mobile devs crying because people told them they didn't make real games. Imagine one of the people behind one of those gacha games now being like, people say like I'm a parasite and getting like put on IGN crying about it.
Yeah, I mean, it. You really don't need to drive far to talk about how insane games media used to be, because the Oya was going to be a revolution.
Hell yeah, let's go, baby.
That felt especially delusional, even for the time.
Man, I wonder if they were being played. Anyways, the Oya was spearheaded by a former IGN editor-in-chief. Fiddle.
Also, this is 100%, like, I obviously there's no way to ever prove this. I 100% think that streaming and Let's Playing getting big kind of fixed games.
Yeah.
Because now the back end of games have to be confronted publicly. Because they didn't at all in 7th Gen, and no game journalist finished the game. KZ, how many, not just Dan and Bob, but KZ, how many times you playing a 7th Gen game, do you get to the back end and they just go, we're out?
I think I felt it through it. I don't want to say every
Dead Space.
I don't want to say every Dead Space, but Dead 3 was the worst it's ever been.
Mm.
Also, yeah, all I bet. Of them. And also, yes, all of them.
also, what I said was not true. An editor-in-chief is someone who has to engage with the content at all. the Oya founder and CEO was former vice president in business development of IGN.
Okay, there we go. That sounds like someone that would do that.
Yep. If the Oya tried to pop up now, it would just be that television scam again. It would go down the exact same way.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's how we treat that shit in media now.
That's kind of how the Oya went down anyway. Like, it came out and everybody was like, wow, this is bad. Wow, look at the dead zones on this controller. It's insane.
Yeah, but, like, they gave it the time of day every time. Like, mm-hmm. even things with legitimate chance nowadays that have their own niche, you know, like, say, Playdate, get less time than the Oya did during its.
Yeah, that felt like everything's so barren. It's like this piece of shit's getting so much media. Now a piece of shit will get no media.
Or it'll get hate media.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the way the Amico went.
Yeah,
which doesn't result in money anymore.
Nope.
The most I got from that is, like, various games media's, like, Twitter accounts going, oh, this looks like shit.
yeah. And for anyone who's curious, Dan, I can't believe you said the Playdate's more valid than the Oya. I've used an Oya. That's how I know.
The Playdate is trying to do literally something unique.
Right. No matter how fleeting that may be as an experience, it will be a unique experience. Being a total piece of crap Android hardware-based bloated thing with a terrible controller with digital distribution, that's not a shed to live in. It will break down. Like, that, you can't build an industry on that, which is why PlayStation immediately ate their lunch by courting everyone with an exclusive. Towerfall was really good on the PS4, Bob.
Yeah, it was. Very neat.
Yum.
Yeah, anyway, we gotta get off of this. Talked about God of War. We played Pokemon. It was great. It's always great. We're in second gen now.
Okay.
Funniest thing about second gen is where it's like, I have 100 new Pokemon. Can I see them? No. Where at the beginning, it's like, hey, I would love to get a new type. How do we get it? All I'm seeing are Pidgeys. And they're just like, beat your head against this tree behind this one guy's house. And if it doesn't come out, then find a different tree and beat your head against it. Oh, good job. You got the fighting beetle. I'm like, oh, thank you. How do I get a fire type? And they're like, go fuck yourself. You will use a Vulpix or a Magmar.
I was just thinking about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. I was like, I'd like a fire type.
Yeah, no, we're actually... The Vulpix has Roar on it already.
Yeah, the Vulpix has Roar. It's hiding in a field where it has a 5% chance of appearing.
Hey, during daytime, it has a 10%.
Ooh.
Yeah. We let chat vote on our starter, so that's why we didn't start with Cyndaquil, so no one can get at us for not choosing Cyndaquil. It was completely votes-based. Because I've heard a number of people be like, it's no problem, just choose Cyndaquil. There's no problem at all. But yeah, that's been great, but not much to talk about there. Bob.
Yeah, what's up?
Have you been playing anything in the last week?
I did get to play a few other things other than those and God of Protectors.
Okay.
There was a demo for a game on the PlayStation Network called Kogen.
Kogen? Spell that?
It's C-O-G-E-N.
Okay.
It's... like Kogen, the Sword of Time or something. Sword of Rewind, okay.
I was like, Bob Copen is the guy from Azure Striker Gunvolt.
The funny thing is that the reason I found out about this is they had a crossover with Azure Striker Gunvolt. you could fight her as a boss in the newest one of those, the Luminous Avengers.
Yeah.
2 or 9-2.
Yeah. I'm gonna post this picture real quick of how this game looks, because Bob being like, it has a crossover. I'm like, yeah, that looks very similar.
Yes. It feels worse than basically what I expect from an indie game.
Oh.
Moving around in this 2D platformer feels weirdly slow and kind of bad. You die in one hit, but you rewind unless you run out of the energy bar that's at the top of the screen, and then you can't rewind it. It's not very good. Also, the very first boss is just nothing but a bunch of, like, they drop things from the ceiling, and there's basically no gap between them to get between. So you just have to jump and line it up perfectly. I'm like, this is the tutorial boss? This is your idea? I'm done. I'm sorry.
It's a demo?
It's a demo, so it was free. I didn't have to pay for this. You can go try it yourself. Maybe this will be appealing to you.
Oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, no, I could. I'm looking at this gameplay, and I'm thinking, maybe I would like this. And then I look down at what she's saying, because, of course, it's muted. We're in the middle of a podcast. And I see Kohaku Otori saying at the bottom, like a checkpoint in a video game. And I'm like, come on, that can't be the first line of text I read from your game. Come on now. I don't know. I may check that out before next week. I don't know.
Sure, go ahead, why not.
It's a fucking demo.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah,
everybody can play it.
Hell, everyone listening right now should go try it. Maybe they'll like it.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I did is I played a bit of Genshin. They added a new mode. It's a photo taking mini game.
So yes,
you literally go around the world, and they've put points in it where it's like, okay, for this photo, get the mountain in the background. You have to be doing an attack with an electric character and then take a picture while you do it. And it's like, wow, these actually make pretty decent photos, honestly. And then they're like, here's have some of the currency.
Man.
I'm like, this is cool. I totally keep doing this if you made more of them. I did all of them you put out, and they had like 12. It's cool.
It's really weird that, that Genshin continues to have cool and innovative ideas for content.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm sure you'll bring this back someday with more places, and that's neat. I could look forward to that.
I expected it to sort of dry up at any point ever, but
I guess when they just keep rolling in money, they're like, well sure, just keep putting in more weird stuff, whatever we think of. They advertise, it's not out yet. They're adding some gameplay mode where you play as the main character, and now he has a parry attack. And it's just straight up, okay, learn to do these duels. It's going to play basically completely differently from the rest of the game.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, sign me up.
Man, this is fucked up. How come Bob gets an amazing gacha in his favorite genre, but Dan doesn't get the farming gacha Eternal, okay? Someday.
Someday they'll put that in Genshin.
Damn it, no!
I mean, there's already gardening in Genshin. You can get a garden on your plot and grow vegetables and flowers and stuff, which you need to upgrade the characters.
You know, the conclusion of this was supposed to be, maybe there'll be a game for me, and Bob just unfurls his skeleton hand and just goes, Genshin will get you too.
Still waiting for that Genshin Kratos crossover.
I still think that would be funny as shit!
So Aloy sent me a message on her birthday.
Yes!
In Genshin Impact.
What?
Yes, that happens. That.
Yeah, every character on their in-universe birthday will send you a letter, and I think what they send you might vary depending on your friendship rating with them. But usually, it's like here's the food item, the unique food item I cook, like three of them, and here's a couple things you can use for ascending me if you haven't maxed me out already. So Aloy sent me one. I'm like, hey, where's being able to upgrade your unique weapon or any of your constellations at all.
Goodbye. Then she faded.
Where's the shit that was supposed to come with you?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It said she's like, that message is something that Aloy would never say, which is really great. They like,
that was the Imran Khan tweet, right?
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, where it's just like talking about being a huntress and stuff. I'm like, wow, this is a better character than what's in that game.
I mean,
oh,
I
she's
know.
Like positive, well, they're not an atheist.
I mean, here's the thing. Like part of that was talking about all I need is music and my friends and I love dancing. And I'm like, who are you?
Yes.
Most of your second game is I need no one. Leave me alone. I got this. Who did that? Who's responsible for that?
Who knows?
Did you play anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay, we're going to head over to KZ. Hey, KZ. What did you be playing?
They released new cards for Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, so I rolled for those.
Cool.
Because I had saved a bunch of currency because they had events and refreshes for dailies. They'll have a cover card where it's like, this is something you could get in there. And then you could potentially pull, and then you can pull higher rarities where they'll give you a foil or something. Like it's a real collectible card game thing.
Yeah.
And I got the highest rarity on the headlining card, and I lost my mind, and then someone told me to go fuck myself on Twitter. I think it was Die. It came out the second one. I'm like, this is a success. Then the game started just giving me nothing really good, but I'm like, this is what I wanted. I'll take it. Aside from that, I built the things I wanted without having to pay money, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. And
cool.
Yeah, that's about it. I didn't really have time to play much else.
Okay.
So, pass.
Feel.
I played some of Atelier Sophie 2 since I finally got to the point where I could play that because it came out, same day as Elden Ring.
Oh, God. For some reason, I thought that came out last November.
Man.
No.
What did they mean by this?
It's neat. It's a sequel to one of the older ones because I guess I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe they were like, let's do the third Ryza game next spring to go with something that may be happening next spring.
I don't understand. What could have been happening?
What? I don't get it. What's up?
I'm not very far. It's neat. It has a lot. It's an Atelier game. I've talked about them every time they've come out for the whole time we've done this podcast. You're a girl who's a dipshit. She makes things. They're still not dubbing these. That sucks. I wish they would get their shit together. Sometime.
I feel like by mass, Feel has done the most coverage of Atelier games on the internet.
No, we can't.
No, there are people who care more.
I know. I have a short list of the features of an Atelier game based on this podcast.
Yeah.
Cute girls, they can be dumb, they use alchemy or something to make things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get dubbed anymore and they never go on sale.
Yeah, those are all
damn,
completely
that
true.
Bitch never goes on sale.
This game is interesting because it's simultaneously a sequel, a prequel, and an interquel to the first game.
I'm gonna shit my pants.
So the plot of this game is that it's immediately following the end of the first Atelier Sophie, which makes it before Atelier Fierce, which was the previous sequel to Atelier Sophie. Because the way these games work is that they'll do three games in the same setting.
Mm.
So it'll be like Atelier Rorona, Totori, and Maruru, and that's the Arlen trilogy. And then they did Atelier Aisha, Escology, and Shally, and that was the Dusk trilogy. And Sophie, Fierce, and Little and Suel, I think is what the last one is the Mysterious trilogy. And now they've started doing okay, we're going back to this trilogy for a fourth game. And this is that one for that. So it's immediately after that, and it starts with the protagonist getting sucked into a dream world where people show up from all points in time and space.
Oh, okay.
So that you meet one of the other characters, the other protagonist of Atelier Sophie, from way before the game happened because they got sucked here when they were younger.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
It's pretty neat. It includes some of the stuff from Ryza, but not all of it. I wish I had taken screenshots. I'll have those next week of just to try and explain the batshit crafting system because you can't explain it without visual aids. It's impossible.
Oh, Jesus.
I sympathize. I just tried to talk about Patrick's Parabox.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, there are high level mechanics. I can't describe them.
the crafting systems in this, because each set also has its own set of crafting mechanics. And the crafting mechanics in this one involve a Tetris box.
Okay.
and each ingredient is a Tetris piece, and you have to put them in the right places and line them up right to get bonuses in crafting.
Well, hey.
And there are other elements to it also.
At least it's not Puyo Puyo. That would be way more complicated.
I'm sure they'll do that eventually.
Not a long enough timeline.
I played Genshin, but I don't have anything to talk about that. I killed the... What are those? I don't even know how to pronounce those things. The Bethismal Bishops? There are mini-boss, because in Genshin, you have to ascend your characters, and they require a material from one of the mini-bosses that are on the world maps.
Are these the big lizard dudes that shoot water at you?
Yeah, they're the duo.
Okay.
Down in the underground area, and I'm like, and I fucking hate them.
Yeah.
But I finally killed them the roughly 20 times I had to kill them to be able to ascend the character that requires their materials. Yay, Miko. Boy, I'd like to call the mods on the Genshin Impact devs, because I got Zhongli so I wouldn't have to play the game. Zhongli being the character that gives you a shield that makes you immune to a ridiculous amount of damage. They have attacks that put on dots that go through the shield.
Oh,
that's not fair.
You're making me brought down to the mortal realm.
Fucked up. I should just win for having that character. Thank you.
I gave you the money, now leave me alone.
I do like one mechanic they have where one of them jumps up on a wall and then you can blow up the wall he's on so he falls over. You can hear
yeah, and he just shits and pisses his pants for like 45 seconds. Really funny. I also started actually doing the character quests, because much like because there's also these things called weekly bosses in Genshin, which give you talent upgrade materials. Because when a character's talents, it goes 1 to 10. When they reach level 7, to go to 8, 9, and 10, or maybe it's 7, 8, and 9, I forget, you need these materials from the weekly bosses, which you can only fight once a week. And there is 6 of them in the game right now. So I had to unlock the one that was buried in the character quests, because Yay Miko requires materials from that boss. And I think Ayato probably does too.
That's the rock thing, right?
No. The weekly boss version of Raiden Shogun.
Oh no, yeah, that's actually. I thought you said Ayaka. I don't know why.
Ayaka
required the rock monster because she came out before either of the Inazuma weekly bosses were out.
Right.
So I'm like, oh good. So now I get to fight her every week. They're getting better at. It's really. Genshin Impact is really interesting because you're watching the developers get better at everything they're making as the game goes on. And I haven't seen this happen in real time since World of Warcraft. So I'm wondering if there's going to be the point 5 or 6 years from now where it's like, we forgot.
Yeah, it's always possible. Like they move on to another project that's happening at the same time. And it's like, oh, no.
They have that, though. That already exists. It's called Honkai Impact.
Third. Yes, but this is like Genshin is the thing that cropped up and kind of went along. I assume it's taking stuff away from Honkai because Honkai came first. So if when we get to the third thing,
hopefully, well, it's luckily it's still the most profitable game in the world and has been since it came out. It makes something obscene like $65 million a month or something ridiculous like that.
Jesus.
It might even be higher than that. It might be closer to like 160. It's insane.
I would like to point out a lot of things that are arts, right? They get a lot better when they get financial support. That includes podcasts. If you want to give us $68 million a year.
Yeah, we'll make a new tier for that.
The shit we would produce if we had even 1% of that.
Right? Man, they think this month's content's fucking weird.
Man, it's so hard to keep up with all the content they got coming out. I still haven't watched the Weeaboots 32 companion movie.
I did all my own stunts.
We completely remake Char's counterattack shot for shot.
Is this illegal? Oh well.
But that's all I played.
Oh, okay, that's good. You know who could give us $68 million?
Who?
Who?
The Podlords.
Oh fuck! Which one of you's doing
fuck.
It?
Jesus.
It's going to be lucky 68 million.
Tonberry made of solid gold.
Tonberry,
but Tonberry, but Tonberry, but it's that 80 foot tall golden Homer.
Yes, that's right. The Podlords. I forgot to pull up the fucking folder full of pictures. Tonberry sent me. Anyways, yes, that's right. The Podlords. Podlords such as E. Lee Broyles, Corey Brown, Walk a Mile in My Spectrobes, Shoe Bunnies, Red Blaze 27, Goblin Mode, Juicer Frost, Suzu Shiro, Emperor Zero, Shibuya Gato, Elflin, the most Uke's Groomfy ever put in a video game.
Please don't call them that.
It just reminds me of my one friend who didn't say Uke, they said Ook. I'm gonna die.
This squirrel fell into my window well trying to deliver news from the forest.
That's better than squirrels I've encountered have fallen.
101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered. WTF, Spider-Man. I'm happy to introduce Ariados, the spider Pokemon, all according to my plan.
Yes.
That's him.
Uh-huh.
Right there.
Yeah. Ariados, the Gen 5, 2 Pokemon.
Yes. Yes, with two heads and a bowl cut.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. That seems right.
Mm. Are you okay, Bob? I'll trust you.
Yep.
A Tyranitar is so powerful, it can bring down a whole mountain to make its nest. It roams in mountains seeking new opponents, Bob. That is a Graboid.
It's a fucking Chomper from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, it looks like that and the enemy from the Ratchet & Clank remake.
God. Mousers, they're called Mousers.
Yes,
not
Mousers
Chompers,
are cool.
Sorry.
It's fine, I forgive you. DFW. 3K. Man wanted for questioning in attempted arson at Staten Island Amazon warehouse. Shiny Mew. Kristen. Ton of Warberry.
Do 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 doink. Do do doink. No do do doink.
Doink.
The beard.
Raido Kuzunoha and Nocturne Figma pre-order waiting room. Angry Flying Hamburger offers up a brother check-in. What do you do? He's like, come on, man. Don't leave me hanging.
I'm like, sure, let's go.
Kyle Bjork. Matty Moe. Oh, fuck. The Podlords. Iron Aggro. Blig de Blue. Schligdus Poo. Front facing character of the week, Gelp.
They just changed it to Gelp.
Fucked up.
BN12. Monster Hunter, Ryzen and Raiden. Yeah, the enemies are nice, but let's talk about Strawberry Daifuku. I'm okay with that. I had to stop this gif on just the right frame. Jordan.
Yeah! That's like what? Hyper detailed Demon Souls remake.
Clearly, you don't play the critically acclaimed MMORPG Final Fantasy XIV with an expanded free trial that lets you play through.
I hate this dude's facial hair.
I don't think elves should be allowed to have beards under any context ever.
I don't know. He just looks like a member of NSYNC.
It should just be inside a tree that's on fire.
Man-made horrors beyond my comprehension, huh? And $50. This is a certified Podlord moment.
What the fuck does this mean?
That's a real mood during Podlords. What the fuck does this mean? AG has once again gotten a brain disease called I will play this game because of bird character.
No way.
That's very principled of you.
Everyone has their journey they must take.
The Nirvana Initiative. Actually, they really fucked up this word. I'm going to try to read it the way they wrote it.
Oh, okay. That's always fun.
The Nirvana Intivitiative. AI, the Somnium Files DLC is just shirts and hot dogs. And I say, let's fucking go.
That hot dog DLC is really funny.
That's hilarious.
The fact that they're like, here's two main characters. They can put on a hot dog outfit just cuz.
Drive Type Cam, Mitzi, Indigo Sykes, Pop Quiz Boys, who has won more Grammys, Katy Perry or Kirby? It's worth noting Kirby didn't win it. That cover band won it.
God damn it.
Ho, ho, ho.
What the fuck is that?
What the fuck?
It's Santy Delibird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's clearly a Delibird.
Oh,
is that not?
Oh my god!
Would you say that it looks exactly like a Delibird?
That's definitely a Delibird.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know what the problem is.
Thank you for setting me straight. I haven't seen a Delibird in 2 weeks, so it must have been warped in my mind.
Well, it's a Florida regional variant.
I trust you.
Uh-oh. I'm just losing it over. If I saw that bird on the side of the road, I would scream.
No, I'd step on the gas and go for it.
A raccoon wondering what to play next now that the Death March is over.
Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
Now we present to Yuho an evolution of the Floridian regional form of Mad Cargo. It's called Pyre Cargo Hee-Ho-Ho, Hee-Ho. Because it wasn't enough to make a Podlord image. That was Bob's trying. It also needs to be Jack.
Yeah, obviously.
That rules. Hey, Bob. Who's that Pokemon?
You can't fool me.
I believe that's Charmeleon. Mon.
Yes, that's Charmeleon Mon. Ultra wide 4K gamer cats and ferrets.
Oh, yeah.
It is normal. Thank you, Podlord. You fuel me. Vermvarm.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how cats be.
Same.
Yeah. Seventh generation heroes.
We're here to salute you,
bald guy.
You're about toxic masculinity, but solve all your problems with violence. Here's to you, seventh generation hero.
Gonna blow up a bus with people.
Some people are like, I don't get this reference.
I'm sorry, we're referencing an advertisement from 20 years ago.
Morality gun check!
Which at the time I thought was great.
The Super Mim. Lane's World 25. Mr. Aladdin, sir, don't make my dog half beg. I will grant you any wish you want. So won't you please give me your eggs?
God.
What?
Somebody wanted a Sneasel replacing the cat on cat dog.
Okay.
So that bottom
half. Where did
half
Aladdin come into play?
Because it looks like a genie coming out of dog's ass.
I would like to ask, if that's the dog from Cat Dog, what happened to his nose?
Look, I didn't have much time
Bob
here.
Bob didn't have a lot of time.
Okay. You see,
you ask his nose, but not his ears?
Or his eyes, which might fall off.
Yes.
And you see, my concern here always is, I think of dog, I'm like, where's the giant purple nose?
Look, KZ, I've seen one episode of Cat Dog ever.
And he had 11 minutes to remember it and draw it.
Yes. Really unfortunate that you've only seen one episode, but have heard Dan talk about Cat from Cat Dog at least 85,000 times.
Yes, of course.
Thanks, Kingdom Hearts. And Sarlene, thank you very much to our Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords.
And if you'd like to become a Podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits such as early access to Chugging Bleach, our Bleach review podcast where we just finished the Bount arc, the only people in human history to ever sit through the entire thing. We never have to think about the Bount arc ever fucking again. Extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when the format of those shows forces to leave ideas on the cutting room floor. And a patron exclusive show, one per month, where you get to vote on what good or bad thing we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com/GB podcast. And if you don't have any money, you can always help us by telling your friends, because God knows the YouTube algorithm won't tell anybody about fucking anything. That's patreon.com/GB podcast.
I have
an important question. Why did they make Leon in Dead by Daylight sound like that?
Leon,
have you heard this?
No.
Resident Evil Leon.
Oh no!
What did they do to them?
I'm just gonna post the video of.
Okay. Let's see.
Just listen to the first couple seconds.
Sure. Yeah, I got this. 1 second. Let me. They'll be able to hear it through their headphones.
Okay.
The beginning of this is all moans, so I just started doing the goodbye Pikachu song in my head.
Right.
Close my eyes.
Okay, I can't listen to it. My question, Dan.
Okay, KZ, I'm going to need you to cut in some of those moans.
I was going to ask, does that appear on the track, or do I have to extract the video?
You'll have to... I guess that would be on the track.
If it's on the track, I'll just leave that shit uncut so people can just...
yeah, just unmute it for a bit. Yeah, that'll work. Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Thank you very much, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Do the face.
Okay, I'm doing the face.
Mm. Very nice. You got any news?
Yes. Max Payne 1 and 2 are being remade under development by Remedy Entertainment in partnership with Rockstar.
Rules.
Max Payne 1 and 2 will be developed as a single title for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. Hell yeah, next-gen exclusive, using the Northlight engine.
This rules.
I'm really excited. I fucking love Max Payne, except for Max Payne 3. Which isn't a real Max Payne.
If they don't put in the face, if they don't use Sam Lake, I can't.
You better. This is the RE4 remake situation where you're either getting a 10 or a 0, and it depends entirely on whether or not you scan in Sam Lake.
They know. They have to do that, and then they can cut to live action anytime they want.
It's true.
like they know that people, when they think of you're remaking the Max Payne games, this is going to be 4K detailed. Model him doing that face. People are like, I don't even want to play. I just want to see him do it.
Yeah, I'd pay money for that. Yeah.
Yes, I would pay a full $60 just for the high-res model of Sam Lake doing the face.
Absolutely.
And they're on a tear of announcing some cool stuff between that and, what was it, Alan Wake?
Yeah, I'm surprised they made this deal, because obviously they talk about that this is a partnership with Rockstar. I didn't think this would ever happen.
Yeah,
that's really cool. It's like they got these couple of projects in. They finished whatever that Crossfire X thing was, because that came out and got horrible reviews.
Yeah. But this is great. I love the fact they did the Alan Wake stuff, and now they're doing this on the control engine. That rules.
Yeah, hopefully we see a full update and they make it like work well on a controller and everything.
Mm. Oh, there's no way it won't.
Right. Like, control feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way better than Max Payne ever.
Yeah, Max Payne is not made for a controller. That's a mouse and keyboard game only.
That's how I feel, and I am someone who didn't even have a gaming PC at the time.
Yeah.
You just play the PS2 one, you go, oh man, what?
I didn't play a lot of Control, but the game feel felt good.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have any, and it could play.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is the ideal form of Remedy gameplay. Just like, no, I want to go slow-mo as I jump forward in the air shooting.
But Bob, this doesn't have Iceman.
Will this bring back bullet? Will this bring back bullet time?
Like, at large, you mean?
Yes, at large.
I don't think this will cut off the zeitgeist again. I don't think that's possible.
It'd be funny if it did, though.
Max Payne was like powered up by the Matrix also happening at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the perfect time. The Matrix came back, and now Max Payne's getting remade. This is the perfect time.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, because this is an announcement of they got that the right. They haven't started basically at all.
It's okay. It's just a remake. I'm sure they can get it done before the gen ends.
Yeah, that I have no
question about, but it's like, this ain't going to be till like 2025 minimum.
We'll go to me next for news. I have no news. We'll go to Bob next for news.
Okay. Bob also doesn't have a way.
No, he has news.
I'm sorry. I misread.
He's brought in another game that has somehow escaped the older dimension, re-released in 2022. What, Bob?
Akai Katana.
How?
Look, they were like, now the 360 shouldn't be the only place this old cave shooter is. Let's bring it over. And apparently the same company just released Death Smiles last year in December. I didn't even know that. That Death Smiles is now on PS4 and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like $40, so I'm going to wait for it to go on sale.
Sure is a cave shooter.
Yeah.
I wonder how much more popular Cave would be if they stopped charging $40 for a shmup.
I know. It's like, this is an old game, dude. The company's called City Connection.
Yes.
Been doing all these recent ports. And it's like, come on. This game released around $40 when it came out on 360 like 10 years ago. God, that wasn't 10 years ago. That was more than 10 years ago.
It could have been 10 years ago. It could have been the very tail end of the generation.
Maybe.
In 2012. Sure.
Yeah, they just released the 360 original cover for it for your Xbox. So you can replace your faceplate.
Yeah.
They put that on a 2012 Xbox game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not like there were any redesigns that would have made a faceplate for your 360 to be incompatible by that point.
Yeah, no way. But this is cool. I never liked Akai Katana as much as some other cave shooters, but I enjoyed having another cave shooter. So if it goes down to like $15, I'll buy it.
Cool.
And of course, Tactics Ogre Reborn got trademarked by Square Enix. That's another game that was leaked by the Nvidia thing. So this is almost certain to be real.
Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah.
It's kind of waiting for that to get announced now, which is exciting. Tactics Ogre is cool. I'd love to see the new version of that.
Like, I assume it'll be like a touched up version of the PSP version one.
Yeah.
That was a remake of the SNES one.
Right. And the PSP one is really solid.
It's funny that it's funny if this happens before them just being like, here's Final Fantasy Tactics on modern platforms.
Right.
Because Tactics Ogre is specifically what that guy did after.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess before.
Yeah, before
Tactics Ogre came.
In this,
and then after, weird order.
Right, because he went back to it after. Like, it got a real remake on the PSP instead of the Tactics, or Final Fantasy Tactics, which kind of got it like a couple touch-ups.
Got a port.
Yeah, touch-ups and new videos and stuff.
And Onion Knight.
Oh, yeah, Onion Knight was added.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see them do, like, a really nice remaster of Tactics. Final Fantasy Tactics. That'd be great. If they do both of them at the same time, that'd be kind of insane.
Wow, I was really confused. I thought you were talking about Gears Tactics.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Anyone's done that in the last 10 years. Or, sorry, the last 2 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Gears Tactics is a very popular game that we're going to have to play during that theme month we raise money for like 2 hours. Just to be like, this is it, guys. We're not going to play a whole ass game like this.
Yeah. They also announced Rivals of Aether 2
mm-hmm.
this week.
Yeah.
It comes out in 2024.
Yeah.
They're switching the 3D graphics. People don't know, Rivals of Aether is like a 2D Smash-like.
Yes.
So this is them going to 3D and making it more and more like Smash Bros. Like, now you have shields instead of just parries. There's ledge grabbing, all that stuff.
Oh, so wow.
It sounds like they just want to be Smash Bros.
Great.
So that's cool.
Visually, that looks pretty damn good from that video they put out.
Actually haven't seen any of this.
Yeah, no, it does look pretty nice. And they said that, yes, we're a very small team. That's why we're not releasing this until 2024.
Yeah.
We'll do a closed beta next year.
They're also releasing a spinoff this year called Dungeons of Aether, which is a turn-based dungeon-crawling roguelike.
That's weird. I saw that news and was like, that can't be related. I didn't even write it down. I was like, this is no one would care, right? But that's all the news I got.
Okay. KZ? What's up?
Yeah, I was going to say, please continue to have Flashy Goodness be the composer for this game.
Hmm.
Oh. All right, to start off my news, the Electronic Gaming Development Company now owns 96% of SNK. That's the thing owned by the Saudi Crown Prince that, you know, like, literally killed.
Is a Saudi Crown Prince.
Yeah. You know, the one that killed that journalist a few years ago.
I'm sorry, we're talking about Saudi Crown Princes. Can you be more specific?
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Now, on the one hand, yeah, that's disappointing. On the other hand, there are few forms of financial stability greater than a Saudi prince having interest in you.
Yeah, I think they did interviews with that guy. He's like, yeah, I grew up playing video games, so I'm just going to get into this. Like, whatever. Oh, every single billionaire is a murderer, and we just don't know about it. This guy is just a front.
Know about it. That's the fucked up part.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is the one we know.
Right. Yeah, I feel like this is the one of the most well-known ones in recent years.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say, don't read any of the replies to any tweet about this.
I had to look up because I forgot what the initials for that company were.
Uh-huh.
So I just Googled that with Saudi, and then the first reply was the headline, one of the worst people in the world now owns over 96% of SNK. I don't have too much other news, but next up we got Return to Monkey Island announced coming in 2022, which is a direct sequel to Monkey Island 2. It's got two of the main people that were working on that series, except Tim Schafer.
Well, yes, he's trapped in the Soul Cube from Doom 3.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's trapped in the Soul Cube. Due to very limited research in this, it was like they did the first two and then some of the creatives left before three was fully made. So it went off and started doing its own thing. So this is like, getting the band back together to make a new one to erase all the other ones that came after two.
That's great. Yeah.
I can't imagine all of those were bad, but someday I need to play them.
So do we get to have a moment that's like the Crash moment? Where the people who made the later ones are like, the trailer made a joke about our games not existing.
One of the later ones were made by Telltale, so they're dead and in the ground.
True. Yeah, right. I don't think that they get to have that tone when it's like, no, the original creators are back. This is what's the main guy's name?
Ron Gilbert is the one who is like behind this, which is really funny because he said years and years ago, I hate April Fools. I think April Fools is stupid, but if I ever decide to do a Monkey Island again, I'll announce it on April Fools to be funny. And then they announce this game on April Fools.
Yeah.
Good.
But yeah, that's nice.
I was like, didn't they have a return to? No, they had an escape from. Hey, Dan, why would you get those two mixed up? Those are both literally the titles of Planet of the Apes movies.
Right? Okay, I was like,
Escape from Monkey Island, Escape from Planet of the Apes, Return to.
Yeah.
Okay, can we get like the ones based on the recent ones? So can we get Rise of Monkey Island and War from Monkey Island?
Also surprising, which isn't surprising to me now that I know it. Devolver Digital is involved with this in publishing.
Ah, smart.
Yeah, they're the movers and shakers of getting this deal done.
Quick correction. Even though I bet this is one of the things I could have gotten wrong and it never would have shown up in the comments. Return to Planet of the Apes is the animated series.
Oh, okay.
If one person...
I would have been actually surprised if someone said, excuse me, that's the 13-episode animated series?
They reply with that immediately and then put edit, never mind.
That would be really funny.
Honestly, yeah. And my last piece of news, Epic did an Unreal Engine 5 like presentation thing, announced that UE5 is now available to all developers now.
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal Dynamics confirmed that the next Tomb Raider is in development and will be running on Unreal Engine 5.
Wow, think of all the ray tracing on the rebar using Lumen.
Oh my god. You were saying, Bob?
We also found out that I believe Jeff Ross, one of the directors from Days Gone, is now working there on this game.
Yes. Yes, that is in fact happening. Let's fucking go, baby.
Oh, man.
Are we going to have to do a spoiler cast for this one game?
I really hope we're moving past the survival trilogy, and this is something totally new.
That would be great.
They're going to show a trailer in 2 years that'll just open with that Lars boy saying, my father, and we'll all fucking die.
They're like, this is a completely new reboot series, so she has to become the Tomb Raider again.
No.
I cannot imagine that this is like in that trilogy, because this will be like, what? 7 years minimum since the last one, because it was 2018.
Yeah.
2018 and the last one 4 years ago. Well, okay.
Yeah, but this game won't be coming out for a while.
Yeah.
And like, the last one wasn't even made by Crystal Dynamics. That was the one they passed off to Eidos Montreal because they were stuck in the Avengers mines.
Right.
Yeah, now they're you know, they're trying to balance this with helping Xbox ship a game.
They're making something that's supposed to be Deus Ex.
Yeah, how weird.
Yeah, very strange.
This is great news to hear that they're making a new Tomb Raider. And that they're using an engine that isn't some insane in-house thing to hopefully facilitate getting that done quicker. Weirdest thing happened. I knew the day they had that presentation for Unreal Engine 5 because Twitch just rammed every fucking ad for it in my face. I'm like, why are you showing me an ad for a fucking engine? Oh, that was today, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
We also got to see a new tech demo from Coalition.
Yeah, they did put out like a video.
That's cool. Some documents came out about the tech they were working on. I have to wonder if it's related to that because, yeah, some of that looked really, really cool. What was the tech demo exactly? Do you know?
It is not Gears of War. They say so many times. Uh-huh. It is almost certainly Gears of War. There is a big beefy man in a dark cave with a crystal that's light lit up.
Okay.
And he's exploring it and there's like a smoke monster.
Yeah, he's a meathead.
I see. It's on Xbox's YouTube channel.
Yes. I believe they say this is running on Series X.
Yeah, they put it somewhere in the text there.
Yeah, to some extent this already came out. I don't know that it was the full video, but
I don't think they had the full one before, because I don't remember seeing like all this actually moving around environments and stuff.
I think they showed like models spinning. I think we saw something like that where it was fairly nothing.
Yeah, because what they were trying to do is figure out like what their art and tech would look like on that engine, you know?
Right.
This looks really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shock. It's almost like the Coalition does really impressive looking stuff on the series consoles. And Unreal Engine 5 definitely has some stuff that they, like when they talked about making this exact thing a while ago, they talked about optimizations they made for making things deal better with their new workflow that can make millions and millions of polygons in a character model or what have you. Yeah, this looks cool. This is exciting. I think we're maybe making the turn. I don't know if this is going to become the narrative, largely, if it's just going to be Digital Foundry. We're making the turn on people being like, well, it's bad, actually, because the homogenization of all of these engines is bad. And while I kind of understand that, like, I don't want to play a video game and then 10 other video games have that exact bokeh effect or that exact type of thing. We're already there, and all of these techs
we're already there.
Look
We've
the
been
same.
There for... We've been there for 15 years.
I feel like, honestly, for me, I think it was the second half of last gen when we started getting a lot of Unreal Engine 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, then they started using temporal anti-aliasing and I started going insane because it looked bad in every game. But then, you know, this gen happened and it's like, oh, well, they fixed it mostly in a lot of these cases, so it's fine.
I think it's funny that there's now somewhat of outrage when it's like, back in 7th gen, everyone started using Unreal 3 and it looked really bad.
And every game ran bad.
Yeah, and ran bad. And it's like, and now we're getting to that point where, like we said 100 times, so many of the companies that are switching are companies that could not keep up tech-wise at all, and it was hampering how
almost,
they made games.
Almost nobody can keep... You can't keep up tech-wise to a company that's business is being better than you at tech. Like...
Yes.
Like id can compete, and Sony has some engines that can compete. But that's it.
Yeah, I feel like it's literally Sony that can compete, to be frank. Like, I don't know.
Id's doing amazing stuff. Why wouldn't you want there to be a company that's like, we're making tools to make game development easier and easier so games can come out faster and be better?
Yeah, plus the better they make that engine for the AAA stuff and the more refined and generalized they can get that thing going, the better it is for indies who just want to come in and do their thing.
Right.
Like, that's been the real benefit of these engines becoming more mature and diverse and broad in what they can do.
And I'm crediting Unreal for a lot of this, Unreal 4 and Unreal 5 once it's out. 7th gen and like the first half of 8th gen, middle tier games were gone.
Yeah.
It was just too expensive to develop a game that could compete because it was game development was so expensive and difficult.
I have a really and cool idea like, for a game. Okay, cool. Solve my riddle, human. Says Kun Kuragi, handing them a PS3.
No!
Solve the riddle of the PS3.
Why does it have a slot for games when there are none?
That's for Blu-ray.
Now those games are coming back, and like, and I'm sure that Unreal somewhere buried in their agreement has like, hey, you can give us the things you figure out, and we integrate them into Unreal. It's like, Imagine if you want to do a thing in the game, and you have a reference material in every other game ever made.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you see a lot of GDC talks that are about this specific thing. Hell, Returnal, Housemark, while making Returnal, did two of them. Of just, here's how we improved Unreal Engine 4 for what we're doing. Here's how we designed our game around Unreal Engine 4's base assumptions. You know, they did that talk years ago about, you know, when you do a thing in Unreal Engine, it's trying to load the bullet in the gun on the guy for the enemy that's on the other side of the map. You need to tell it very specifically to prioritize different things and to defer different things, so that way you don't wait forever for it to load. It was very clear they were not making a PS5 game at that point. They didn't know how fast it would load. So I still think it's a good thing.
Yeah, the funny thing is the big changes recently have been the announcement of the new Witcher, which we saw Cyberpunk. That engine was like bending at every single seam. Like,
dude,
the thing was basically a dam overflowing.
Dude, not only that, did you hear the stuff coming from the people who worked at CD Projekt Red?
No.
They literally said there is no engine there. They just redo it every time from the ground up.
Ah!
Wow, I wonder why those games take so long to come out and are fucked half the time.
Yeah. And then Tomb Raider, it's like, well, we didn't.
It's like the anti Bethesda, where they're like, we make the new engine every time and it's all fucked up. And Bethesda's like, we've had the same one for 35 years and it's all fucked up.
I'm like, yes. Wow, you both found a different way to drive to the city.
Bethesda's like, well, if we turn around and go 24,587 miles in that direction, we'll eventually get to the same place.
Oh, no. Yeah,
basically. It's fantastic. But yeah, that's it for news. Bob and I are going to play Mega Man Legends 2 on Friday after this comes out. I've never beaten that game. I've owned it for most of my life. I got 85% or 95% through that game and then just put it down and never picked it up again. I don't know why. Don't ask.
I bet later on hearing that it ends in a cliffhanger just made you not want to.
Wait, you did what? I had no idea. I didn't know until Legends 3 because, fun fact, no one's played Mega Man Legends 2.
I have, and then I'm like, wow, this isn't nearly as good as Mega Man Legends 1.
There's a lot of neat things about Legends 2. I'm not sure
there
that
is
I'm sold
a lot of neat
structure.
Things. Make sure you go into the options and set the controls to just being Ratchet and Clank controls, because you can do that.
Oh.
I do recall that, yeah. But yeah, aside from that, I don't know. Casey?
I'm going to try and play a video game this next week. I was slipping a little bit this week, so see what I can do.
Feel?
I'm building a house with my bare hands.
Why does he gotta shame me like this every week? I'm like, I need to be more productive. I need to build a house. I'm gonna run the podcast network and also build a house. It'll be as good as the house we're in right now.
Well, at least you're setting your bar not too high.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.